have some statistics to share with you, really kind of surprising statistics, but don't let these statistics drag you down, okay? Because we're going to be talking about a solution or at least a help to this problem that we're going to mention. According to Gallup News, dated April 21st, 2026, so this is not too far back. You know the Gallup poll people? I assume that's the same group. According to that survey that they took, the research that they did, it says 19.1% of Americans have or are being treated for depression. 19.1%. Do you know how many people that turns out to be? 51 million people in America are suffering from depression. For adults 18 to 29, the depression rates have more than doubled since the fourth quarter of 2017. In 2017, between 18 to 29-year-olds, the depression rate was 13%. Do you know what it is now? It is 28%. 28%. And I found this from a different source. It said that the percentage of adults who reported ever being told by a health professional that they had depression in West Virginia, it's the highest rate in the country. The number is 30.2%. 30.2% of the population of West Virginia has been told by a health professional that they're depressed and they need some help. And also I found there's a strong link between depression and loneliness, with a depression rate of 33% among U.S. adults who experience loneliness the day before the survey, compared with 13% among those who did not. And then lastly, listen to this. Some suggest that about half of the population of America is experiencing some sort of discouragement right now. You know, I suspect that the numbers that I've just shared with you are actually a little bit on the low side, because a lot of people haven't been to healthcare professionals. A lot of people have not been diagnosed with depression, but they struggle with it. And a lot of times, because of the stigma maybe attached with that, they don't say a lot. So I imagine that these numbers are actually a little bit low. But before you get a bit weary from those numbers, you know, I believe that the answer to every problem we have is found in God's Word. Now, I want to make very clear that that's not saying that God hasn't blessed people with the knowledge to use medicine and to help people with problems and chemical imbalances and things like that. I get that, okay? But I know that God's Word has the answer. I know that God's Word can be a help. So I really want to put, you know the expression, I want to put my money where my mouth is, or someone to say to you, put your money where your mouth is. Well, I'm going to do that today by looking at God's Word, and how can we find encouragement in this day of discouragement in our country? And you might be here today, and you say, well, absolutely. I'm one of those percentages. Somewhere along the line, I'm in the depressed group or the discouraged group, or someone that a medical professional has told me that I should get some encouragement or some help from. But we're going to look at God's Word. Good Lord willing, we're going to finish tonight as well. But today we're going to look at two places that we can go for encouragement. Two places that we can go for encouragement. The first place is to have a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. Now, you see, there's a lot of people that I'm sure that are in this survey who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. So I can tell you that according to God's Word, the best thing I could recommend for you is to trust Jesus as your Savior. But there are also people that know the Lord as Savior, and they still battle some of these things. And I would just encourage you that there is encouragement to be found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe instead of being this far apart from the Lord, maybe if you move just a little bit closer, that God would encourage your heart more. Actually, I know that He would encourage your heart. I'm not saying that's the sole basis of the solution, Because, again, I believe that some people have chemical imbalances in their brain, some things that's happened, some genetics that they have, that they really struggle in these areas. So I don't want to up here say, well, you know, it's because you're not spiritual, because I don't believe that. I really don't. But I do think, and I do say, and I've said quite often, that the closer we are to God, I think the more apt we are not to be discouraged. And if we are discouraged or depressed, the closer we are to God, the better our days will be. Does that make sense? Has that kind of clarified it a little bit? But where? The question we're answering, it's encouragement is the title of the message, part one. Where do we find encouragement in life? First of all, by having a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. And I want to tell you that every part of the Trinity in Scripture is mentioned in the context of encouragement or comfort or consolation. So you know, with all three, God the Father, with God the Son, and with God the Holy Spirit, when we have a close relationship with them, if we have a relationship at all, if we don't know the Lord, we can feel that encouragement. One of the roles that they have is to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. First of all, God the Father. You say, where does it say in the Bible that God the Father will encourage us, that we can find encouragement? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. Notice this verse. And the words that's going to be, even though they might be translated comfort or comfortist or even encourager or things like, it's all basically the same Greek word or the same root of a Greek word that's in the original. So these, the God the Father can be an encouragement. Listen to this verse. It says, nevertheless, God, are you ready? That comforteth us, comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know what that tells me? Now, this is speaking strictly of God the Father. That tells me that one of the roles that God can play in my life as God the Father, one of the roles that he can have is when I'm cast down, when I'm discouraged, when I'm going through something difficult, God can comfort me. And I am thankful for that. He is by nature the God of all encouragement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, or if not, it'll show up on the monitor here in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. By nature, God the Father is a God of all encouragement. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, what it says. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Wow. The God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you know what this says? He calls, the Bible calls our Heavenly Father the God of all comfort. I've said it quite a bit, and I think some of you have kind of grabbed hold of it. All means all, and that's all that it means. He is the God of all comfort. You know, really, I believe that God the Father, he wants to see us encouraged. Y'all agree with that? You know, I think one of the biggest tools of the devil, and I've heard a story about that, you know, the devil was selling off a bunch of his tools one day, and the one that was the highest price was the tool of discouragement and depression. And ask why, how come that one is so expensive and the others are cheap? He said, well, that's my most valuable tool. I use that. Do you know how many preachers get discouraged? Do you know how many Sunday school teachers get discouraged? Do you know how many average church members get discouraged every day? Do you know? I mean, really, but I think the Lord wants us to be encouraged. And God says, I am the God of all comfort. And when we go through difficult times, it says that he encourages us and sees us through so that when someone goes through the same thing, we can say, hey, I not only think I know what you're going through, I know what you're going through because I've been through the same thing. Isn't that good? I remember, I believe I've shared this with you before, but I remember when I was at West Virginia Tech pursuing my bachelor's in mechanical engineering. My dorm was all the way on one end of campus, and the engineering building was all the way on the other end of the campus. And I remember I sprained my ankle somehow. I'm trying to think how that was. I really can't remember. I had to ponder on that a little bit. But I remember I had to use crutches to get all the way from this end of campus to the end of this end. You know what? I grew a greater appreciation for those who have to use crutches. Because I'm like, wow, this is terrible. Because I'd gone through it. Now, I made it through it. And now I can look at people on crutches and I can kind of understand what they're going through. And you see, God allows us to go through certain things. He comforts us, sees us through it so that we can help other people. But aren't you glad that the God of the Bible is the God of all comfort? God the Father is the God of all comfort. Now, there's another verse. This verse is found in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. Now, again, we're looking at how having a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, can bring us encouragement. God the Father is mentioned as at the God of all comfort. And then in Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15. You know, it's one thing when you can't find a book of the Bible. It's another when I can't. And I'm up here flipping and stalling, like, where did Romans go? But I found it. I found it. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Romans 15 and verse 5. It says, now the God of patience and consolation. There's that word again. He's called the God of patience and consolation, grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. You know, I'm thankful that my God is not a God that promotes discouragement. My God encourages me. Having a relationship with Him. And by the way, our relationship with God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit is as close as we want it to be. Not only does God the Father give us encouragement, but also God the Son gives us encouragement. You say, what, where does it say that Jesus is our encourager? In 1 John chapter 2, I want you to look at this. It's translated a little different, but it's the same word, the same root of the Greek word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Do you know that word advocate is the same word that's used for like comforter and consoler? And it can mean intercessor, it means go-between, it means advocate, someone who stands on our side. And again, it's the same idea of encourager. So the Lord Jesus Christ serves as an encourager, if you will, between us and the Father. And an advocate on our side, bringing our requests to God the Father. So not only is God the Father an encourager, and I can find encouragement in Him, but I can also find encouragement in God the Son, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, what about, now this is, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Now, I found this really, really interesting. We've talked about God the Father gives us encouragement. We've talked about God the Son gives us encouragement. But what about God the Holy Spirit? What about God the Holy Spirit? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm going to loosen this tie up just a little bit and hope that frog leaves us alone. John chapter 14. Do you know the word that's used here? Parakletos. You've probably heard preachers get up and say, well, the Holy Spirit is our parakletos. You know what that word means? It means encouragement. It means comforter. Look at what it says in John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus, in his upper room discourse, talking to his disciples for the last extended teaching time, notice what he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Another way to say that would be, I'm going to give you another encourager, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Drop down to verse 26. It says, "But the comforter," same word, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Go to chapter 15 and verse 26. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And then lastly, look at chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, still the teachings of Jesus. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or good for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." You know, I find encouragement from the fact that God the Father wants to encourage me. I find encouragement from the fact that Jesus the Son wants to encourage me. And I find encouragement that God the Holy Spirit wants to encourage me. And when I come to know Jesus as my Savior, you know, God the Father, the God of all comfort, when I come and even when I pray now, we have Jesus Christ as our advocate or encourager to the Father, bringing our request. And we got God the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that wants to guide us and direct us and to give us encouragement. You know, I'm thankful that God provides me a way, according to Scripture, that I can be encouraged in my relationship with the God of the universe. I guess my big encouragement to you is, if you don't know this God of the Bible through Jesus, you've never been saved, let me say it quite simply, you don't know what you're missing. But if you're here today and you say, "I know Jesus and I still battle some of these things," this is not an indictment, but just a thought. How close are you in your walk with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? I think the closer we get to Him, really, the more encouraged we may be. Don't you? If you want or need to be encouraged and you are not saved, trust Jesus. If you are saved, just snuggle real close to Him. You know, there's a pretty popular photo of the Hawk's Nest Gorge, Hawk's Nest State Park. You see, my dad worked there for years and retired from. He ran the tramway that went down to Hawk's Nest, and now they've tore that tram completely out, and they put another one up, or working on it. I haven't heard whether it's open yet or not. But there's a real famous photo that you've probably seen if I would pop a picture of it up. But it's looking down, way down at the gorge and at the New River, and there's a railroad bridge that goes across the New River. And on that railroad bridge, I'll tell you a secret. You ready for a secret? See, my dad worked mainly down at the bottom. There's a tram station down there, and he mainly worked down there. I spent a lot of time down there. I worked like 3 summers while I was in college working, not necessarily on the tram, but there at Hawk's Nest. But I'll tell you a secret. If you go across that railroad bridge, on the side of the mountain is a spring, a natural spring over there. And the water is cool and the water is good. And let me tell you, by the time you walked all across that bridge on a hot day, and what was really bad is if a train came while he's on the bridge, and that bridge was like, okay, yeah, I hope we make it. It helps your prayer life. But by the time, you know, kind of wearying, probably a little bit tiring, a little bit hot. But by the time you got over, that water tasted pretty good. Now, I'd encourage you, the water of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, boy, nothing beats that water. And there's a whole lot of people that are weary in this world, but they need the Lord Jesus. Encouragement. Where do we find encouragement? First of all, by having a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. The second way that we're going to look at this morning that we can be encouraged is by reading and studying the book of books, this Bible. You say, preacher, how can I be discouraged? How can I be encouraged? Because right now I'm discouraged. Can I tell you, by reading and studying the Word of God? There's something amazing about this book. And I know you've heard that 1,000 times from preachers in the past. You've heard it probably 1,000 times since I've been here, because it's true. There's something amazing about this book. And there's actually a verse in Scripture that uses, again, that same Greek word, that encouragement, that idea of encouragement, or the same root of the Greek word in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. If you turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Notice what it says. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We're talking about encouragement. Where do we find encouragement? With a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. And secondly, by reading and studying the book of books, that is the Bible. Romans 15 and verse 4. Notice what this verse says. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Now, what's it talking about? Written in the Word of God, okay? And it says that we, through patience and, notice this, and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Wow. You say, preacher, you think the Bible is saying that there's comfort and encouragement to be found in the Word of God? Absolutely. Do you know what most of us do with the Word of God? You know, with phones and all that today, I'm not sure we even bring it to church a lot of times, but it sits one place on our coffee table or whatever, and then come Sunday, we pick it up, bring it to church, we go back from Sunday, we set it right there, and then it just comes and goes to church. But we don't read it the way we should. Now, I know there's exceptions, and I know there's varying degrees, and some read it and say, well, preacher says I'm supposed to read it, so let's find something to read. And we just read real fast. Done my duty. But let me tell you, if we spend some time getting in the Word of God, the Bible says of itself, it's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So if it's quick, that means it's alive. It means it's powerful. And when I read this book, I can be encouraged. It says, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I don't know about you, but that sounds like to me that when I'm discouraged, when I'm depressed, a good place of encouragement is to spend time in the Word of God. I remember when I went to West Virginia Tech, you know, there was times that, boy, it was overwhelming. For me, it was not a matter of getting everything done for college. It was impossible. There's no way I could get everything done. You know, they wanted you to read the textbook. They wanted you to study this, and they wanted you to do this. Now, the things that were necessary, I got them done, and I did okay in school and all that. But let me tell you, it was impossible to do everything that they wanted me to do. So at times, I felt a bit overwhelmed. It seemed like normally for a big project or before a big test, I'm like, oh, I just don't know. You know what I'd do? And I'm not pointing myself out saying, look how spiritual I am, because I definitely have my flaws, but one thing I would do, I knew where to go for encouragement. I'd open to the book of Philippians, and I'd start reading through the book of Philippians. And you know what God would do? God, through the very words that He's written for you and I, He would just calm me down. Whew, I could take, and you say, well, I just don't understand. Right. Try it when you're discouraged or depressed. Get in the Word of God. Get serious about the Word of God. And just let the Word of God minister to your heart. There's another verse in Scripture that does not use the word it actually does use the word, but it doesn't say specifically that the word of God, but it talks about these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18. Notice what it says. Now, this is right after a description of the rapture of the church. You know, where Jesus comes back to get his children. And that's the next thing on God's calendar. But then at the very end of that, notice what it says. And this is the same Greek root again. That word comfort, encouragement, consolation. Notice what it says. Verse 18. It says, after I've described as the writer of Thessalonians to the Thessalonian church, Paul has described what's going to happen in the rapture. He says, wherefore, comfort one another, what? With these words. Huh. You mean words from the Word of God can encourage my heart? Absolutely. When I think about heaven and I think about Jesus coming and getting me, that's an encouragement. You know, this book is the very words of God written for me and written for you. In this book, I find that I can be saved and have a relationship with the God of the Bible. Isn't that good? In this book, I find that once I am truly saved, there's no one or nothing that can make me unsaved. I praise the Lord for that. In this book, I find how best to live my life before God and for my benefit and for my blessing, how to best live before God. In this book, I find that although this life might be short and this life might be rocky, someday I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. You know, I can find all kind of encouragement in the Bible. And I find in this Bible a bunch of promises, promise after promise after promise that brings my heart encouragement. But you know what? I'm not going to read or be reminded of those promises if I don't get in the book. I thought I'd share just a few promises real quick. Some promises from the Word of God. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Notice these wonderful promises that give us. I've just picked out a few. Notice this. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Isn't that good? Jesus says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that good? The promise from God's word of peace in my life. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Notice, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. Isn't that a blessed encouragement to know that when I slip, God's got me by the hand and he's going to hold me up? What about Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29? It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What a promise from God. What a promise from his word. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a promise from God. What about Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7? Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a blessing. What a promise. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. for the former things have passed away. Boy, what a blessing we can find in the Word of God. My goodness. I know we live in a discouraged world. I know that we live in a depressed world. But what a blessing we have in the Word of God. We can find encouragement if we'll just spend time in the Word of God. I thought about this. My Bible has 1,923 pages. That's from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation. And I thought about this. What if I put a $100 bill between every page of my Bible? And I said, when you read that page, you get that $100 bill. I figured that up. I had to calculate it. That's $192,300. That's a lot of money, isn't it? It's super giant print, people. It's huge print. So it's got a lot of pages in it. And I think if I did that and I gave you my Bible and said every page you read, you get $100. I know I would be if you did that to me and gave me the challenge. I'd say, bring it on, brother. I'll have that read in 2 days. But you know what? Something a whole lot more valuable than a $100 bill is on every page. The promises of God, the blessings of God, the encouragement of God found in the Word of God. Today, part one of encouragement. Where do we find encouragement in life? We looked at first by having a relationship with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a relationship with the God of this Bible? You know, if not, you're here today and say, you know, I don't have a relationship with Him. I've not been saved. You'd say I'm lost. I've not given my faith and trust in Jesus. I've not made that decision. But let me tell you, there's nothing better I can recommend for you than to do that. Make that decision in your heart and in your mind to say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I believe He died on the cross for me as the Son of God. I believe He paid for my sin debt. I believe He resurrected back to life. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe all that, and Jesus is going to be my Savior, the one I'm going to follow. You know, that relationship will give you encouragement. So I'd encourage you today, as we sing a song here in a little bit, I'll be somewhere down front. If you're not sure you're saved, that's terrible bondage. It really is. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven or not. I'd settle that today. Come up here and say, preacher, I want to know that I'm saved. What an encouragement He gives us in life. But what about those who are saved today and you have a relationship? How close are you in that relationship to the God of the Bible? You know, again, you're as close as you want to be. You know, the closer you are, I'm convinced the more encouraged we can be. And secondly, we looked at by reading and studying the book of books, the Bible. If you're here today, how much time do you spend in the Word of God to be encouraged? I know it's a dark world. I know it's an evil world. I know there's bad news everywhere, but guess what? The best place I know to find good news is in the Word of God. I can be encouraged in the Word of God. I'd encourage you, spend more time in the book. It will bless your socks off if you'll let it. You might be here today and you might say, you know, I'm one of those 51 million Americans who are depressed. Or you might say, I'm one of the 170 million Americans who are discouraged. One more time. If you're here today to find encouragement, if you're lost, be saved. If you're saved, snuggle up real close to this God of encouragement. And if you're here today and you know the Lord is your Savior, spend more time in this wonderful book of encouragement called the Bible. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but has God spoken to your heart today in this area? Maybe you're one who is discouraged, depressed today. Maybe you're really struggling. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you that the best place to find encouragement is in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the God of this Bible? And can I, can, can I, Can I exhort you and encourage you to spend more time in the Word of God? It will indeed bless your life. It will indeed pick you up. It will indeed make the darkest day of your life seem a little better because of all the blessings of the Word of God. If God is speaking to your heart in a little bit when we sing, will you come to the altar and just talk to God about it? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can find encouragement in our relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can find encouragement in the very words of this book, this love letter that you've written to us. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help people to respond today according as you're speaking to their hearts. May they simply obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.